Hey there, welcome to the program. It's Gary Zimak. Great to be back with you once again on Blog Talk Radio. 3 days in a row since I've been back. I'm still having fun doing this. I've got the window open. Man, it is a gorgeous day in South Jersey as I record this program. I'm grateful to have you as a listener, and I really want to thank you for hanging with me on these broadcasts. As a reminder, I put this on Facebook yesterday. It might be a good idea. When you go to, I don't know if you can listen to this from iTunes or TuneIn Radio, but if you go to Blog Talk Radio, you can, and you go to my page, Blog Talk Radio, and just do a search for Gary Zimak. And when you come to my page, you'll see that there's a place at the top, I think it's a pink button that says follow. If you click that, I think you'll put in your email address, I forget what it asks for, but you'll get an email every time I put a new show out there. So in the event I take a break and decide to start it up again, you'll be notified. So if you care enough, and I'm assuming you care enough because you listen to this program, to follow me, that would be a good way to do it. That way, if I do take a break and decide to start up again, you'll be notified. Each time I do a show, you get a quick email that the show is available. Just wanted to mention that. So today we're going to look at the mass readings from Thursday of the 28th week in Ordinary Time. And again, to frame where we are, there are 34 weeks in Ordinary Time, actually 33. 34th Sunday is the Solemnity of Christ the King. So we're looking at 34 weeks. Today we are on the 28th week. We're getting close to the end of the church year, and then we begin Advent. We start all over again. So just know where we are in the cycle. Let's see what else. Let's pray. We'll also have a little bit of information from the catechism today that I'll be sharing with you. The word catechism, it's a mysterious word, isn't it? We'll talk about this whole catechesis thing. A lot of times we as Catholics sling these words around. We don't even think about what they mean, or we think about what they mean. But when we're talking to other people who might not be Catholic or who might not be that familiar with the teachings of the Catholic Church, they might say, what in the world is a catechism or a catechist? But we just use these words as if they are perfectly normal. Not to everybody. That's what we're going to talk about today in the catechism. So got lots of good stuff coming up. Let's begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for caring so much about us. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for your magnificence. Father, you have created the entire universe out of nothing. That's good work, and we're very grateful to be able to see your creation. We're grateful for your presence in our lives, and we ask you, Father, to help us to recognize you in everything we see, everything, every situation where we encounter. Help us to see your presence. Sometimes we lose sight of you, so we could use a little help there. Father, we lift up our problems to you, our intentions, whatever may be bothering us today. We lift it up to you. We ask for your assistance. And also, I ask you to speak through me on the program today and use my voice and my words to proclaim your message. We pray for an end to abortion. We pray for world peace. We pray for our government leaders. We pray for all who are sick. We pray for all who are anxious, all who are struggling with any kind of an addiction. We pray for those who are on the verge of despair, those who struggle with doubt. We pray for our priests, our religious, our deacons. We pray for an increase in vocations. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint John de Brebeuf, Isaac Jogues, and companions, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. They are the saints today. The saints of the day. It's always a good idea to ask them to pray for us. You know, they've walked this road before. It wasn't easy for them. The saints didn't have it easy. That's why it's so really good to look at the lives of the saints. In many ways, they mirror our own lives. They had struggles. They had problems. They had temptations. Many were martyred like our saints today. These are people who can really help us, who can intercede for us, and from whom we can learn a lot. You know, you look at their lives, and you can really learn a lot. All right, couple pieces of business. Followingthetruth.com, that's the place to go for information about my work. Maybe you want to bring me to speak at your parish. I have openings for parish missions still in Lent of 2018. So if you've got something, an opening in your parish, find out. Give me a call or contact me. You can call me. You can email me. Whatever works good. Go to followingthetruth.com and click on contact. And that's how you contact me. The other piece of information is podcastforwarriors.com. That's an easy way to get to my podcast for warriors. Picking up some new followers every day, some new subscribers. So if you or somebody you know is worried about anything, if you're a warrior, you need a little help with your anxiety, that would be the perfect podcast for you. The way it works is I do a 5-minute version each day. You get it at 6 a.m. Eastern time. So bright and early, you get it emailed to you. Simple 5-minute podcast, a little scripture verse, a meditation, something positive to start your day. You know me, I don't believe in fluff. It's substance. It's simple but substantial, the two S's. Also, you can get a weekly version, a 30-minute version, which I get a little bit more time to expand on the thoughts. There's also a weekly video, which you can subscribe to send me your questions, and I'll answer the questions. I do a weekly blog post, and these are different options that you can get. But if you want to find out more about this very unique podcast for warriors, go to podcastforwarriors.com. You can also get there from followingthetruth.com, which is my main website. The last piece of information is Mystic Monk Coffee, the greatest coffee you will ever drink. I have a link to Mystic Monk Coffee on my website. These are Carmelite monks. They are based out in Wyoming. They brew some excellent coffee. When you order the coffee through my website, followingthetruth.com, and you can't miss the little image of the Mystic Monk Coffee, when you click on that and order from there, I get a pretty decent commission. They pay a nice commission. Check it out. You'll help me out. You'll help yourself out. You'll help these monks out because that's how they support themselves. Mystic Monk Coffee, available at followingthetruth.com. And of course, the donations. You can click on support to send me donations, to subscribe monthly, to send a one-time donation. It means a lot, and I thank you for your support in the past. But you know the deal. I have to keep asking. It's the only way I can possibly stick around. And right now, I'm barely keeping my head above water, but I know if the Lord wants me to continue these podcasts, He will inspire you to make these donations. I'm not going to say too much more about it, except that I'm incredibly grateful, and I don't want you to put yourself in any financial jeopardy. This is only if you're able to do it, okay? We got that. I want to make sure we're clear on that. God doesn't want you to use your rent money to support me. He wants you to pay your rent. He wants you to pay your bills. But if you're able to have anything extra, I would be very grateful. Hopefully, you're also seeing the fruits of total consecration to Jesus through Mary. Can you believe that that's over? If you're somebody who went through the total consecration, every year I start this, and we look at 33 days, go right through the weekends. I mean, you know the deal. You did it. And it's very intimidating in the beginning. You think, I'm not going to make this. But before you know it, we're done, and we consecrate our lives to Jesus through Mary. I renewed mine this year. You may have renewed yours or made your initial consecration. Once you do that, it's incredible the work that Mary does in your life. You don't always notice it right away, but over time, over the years, it's incredible to see what she is doing. So if you've done it, congratulations. If you haven't done it, God willing, I'll still be around to do it next year. We'll see what happens with that. All right, let's look at these mass readings for Thursday of the 28th week in Ordinary Time. The first reading, once again, is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. This is his longest letter. That's why it appears right after the Acts of the Apostles. The writings, the letters of St. Paul in the New Testament, they're arranged from longest to shortest. That's the way they're... This is not a chronological representation of how... when he wrote these letters. His letter to the Romans, chapter 3, verses 21 through 30. Brothers and sisters, now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, though testified to by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. All have sinned and are deprived of the glory of God. They are justified freely by His grace through the redemption in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as an expiation through faith by His blood to prove His righteousness because of the forgiveness of sins previously committed, through the forbearance of God to prove His righteousness in the present time, that He might be righteous and justify the one who has faith in Jesus. What occasion is there then for boasting? It is ruled out. On what principle? That of works? No, rather on the principle of faith. For we consider that a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Does God belong to Jews alone? Does he not belong to Gentiles too? Yes, also to Gentiles. For God is one and will justify the circumcised on the basis of faith and the uncircumcised through faith. All right, what in the world is St. Paul talking about here? His letter to the Romans is very complicated. This is not an easy read, so I just want to key in on a couple main concepts. The way we are going to make it to heaven, the way we are will be allowed to get to heaven, is not because of our works. If anybody tells you that you Catholics believe you can work your way to heaven, that's not true. We are justified, as this letter says in the Bible, in the inspired word of God, through faith. We are justified through faith and not by works. Because of our faith, we are able to receive the grace that we need to make it to heaven. Now, it's important to note this, and St. Paul does say this. It is possible for us to mess it up and not get to heaven because we don't cooperate with the grace that we're given. The only way that you or I can ever make it to heaven is because of the fact that Christ died for us on the cross to open the gates of heaven and gives us the grace to be able to do what's necessary to get there. Works are important. And St. James is very clear in his letter in the New Testament as well. And St. Paul also talks about working out his salvation by fear and trembling. In other words, we can't just sit back and do nothing and say, well, Jesus paid the price for us. We don't have to do anything. No good works. We don't have to worry about it. We will get to heaven automatically. It's not an automatic process. But it's because of what Christ did. You see the difference? That we can get to heaven. But we still have to cooperate with the grace. He says to us, I'm going to give you what you need. I'm going to give you the grace that you need to rise above your fallen human nature and do the works that you need to do to get to heaven. It's all because of Jesus, but you don't have to cooperate with the grace that he gives you. In other words, you don't have to listen to him and do what he asks you to do. And as a result, you can end up someplace where it's really warm, and you know where that place is. We get to heaven by the grace given to us, through the grace given to us by Jesus Christ. And that's what we believe as Catholics. So what's happening is here, some people, St. Paul is dealing with Jewish Christians, he's dealing with Gentile Christians. This is the early church. And the Israelites, the Jews, were the chosen people. So as a result, some of them thought that they were privileged, that they were better than the Gentiles. And, you know, we all fall victim to that sometimes. We think we're better than other people. Nobody's better. We are all equal in the Lord's eyes. None of us deserve heaven. None of us deserve to be included in the family of the Lord, to be part of this very special family. But it's a gift. So our message, what we need to take out of this is we shouldn't look down on anybody. We're all equal in God's eyes. Sometimes we think we're better than other people. We're not. No, none of us are. We are all sinners. And as he very clearly says here, we are all sinners. We all need the Lord's help to do anything good. We can't do anything good on our own. The only thing we can do on our own is to sin. Right? We can do that pretty good, but keep that in mind. Everybody you look at, the homeless person on who lives on the street, the criminal, the person who doesn't go to church, we are all equal in God's eyes. That doesn't mean that some people don't lead a holier life than others, but we are all equal, and God loves each of us the same. We just need to remember that and be very grateful that he loves us so much. And for those of us who have embraced our faith, and obviously you're listening to this, you care about Christ, you care about his church, we should be grateful for that, because not everybody gets that. And oftentimes we heard this with St. Luke. We talked about St. Luke the evangelist, that we are all called to bring Christ to others. We're called to evangelize, because those people who might not accept Jesus, those people who might not know Jesus, could be up to us to introduce them to him. Today's Psalm 130. This is a good one. With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my voice in a supplication. If you, O Lord, mark iniquities, Lord, who can stand? But with you is forgiveness, that you may be revered. I trust in the Lord. My soul trusts in his word. My soul waits for the Lord more than sentinels wait for the dawn. None of us like to wait. Waiting's not an easy thing, but we can't make God go any faster. I know I've tried. Maybe you have too. If I need something, or at least I think I need it right away, I'm going to keep pushing you because I don't like to wait. He doesn't move any faster. He's not going to give you something just because you want it. He will give it to you at the right time. It drives me crazy. But the more I get to know the Lord, the more I understand him, the more I realize how he works. And it drives me a little less crazy. I mean, it still drives me crazy, but at least I know the way he operates now. You can't force him to do anything. The other thing you can never do is convince him or try to get him to change his mind. He's not going to change his mind. God is unchangeable. God exists outside of time. This is a really impossible or very difficult concept for us to wrap our brains around. What God can do, though, he wants you to ask for something. Sometimes he wants you to ask for what you need because he wants us to depend on him, right? So as a result, he wants us to ask for what we think we need, even though he knows what we need already, and he's outside of time. I know this gets really funky, but because of that, he knows how everything works out because everything is now to him. So if I keep pestering him, it's not that I'm making him change his mind. It's that he knows what I need. He's ready to give it to me, but he gives it to me when he thinks I need it. Okay? And that might mean years. That might mean months. The reason it's good to keep asking, well, first of all, he says this. Jesus tells us this. He told parables about this, that we should pray always. The reason it's important to do this is because when you keep asking the Lord for what you think you need, if it's a healing, if it's a new job, whatever it may be, your relationship with him is growing. And I've seen that in the past. If he would have given me certain things that I asked for right away, I would have forgotten him. And I'm so grateful that he delayed. It's not that he doesn't want to give us things. He's going to give us what's best for us in the long run, the big picture, what's best for our salvation, what we need to get to heaven, and for the salvation of those around us. This is a big master plan that he's got. We will never fully understand God's reasoning. We can come close through some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but we might never fully understand it. Faith involves trust. But you can't trust him unless you know him. That's why you should be talking to him every day and asking for the grace to be able to trust him more. I know it's confusing sometimes. It's difficult. Today's gospel comes from Luke chapter 11, verses 47 through 54. The Lord said, "Woe to you who killed the memorials of the prophets whom your fathers killed. Consequently, you bear witness and give consent to the deeds of your ancestors, for they killed them, and you do the building. Therefore, the wisdom of God said, I will send to them prophets and apostles. Some of them they will kill and persecute in order that this generation might be charged with the blood of all the prophets shed since the foundation of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who died between the altar and his temple building. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be charged with their blood. Woe to you, scholars of the law! You have taken away the key of knowledge. You yourselves did not enter, and you stopped those trying to enter. When Jesus left, the scribes and Pharisees began to act with hostility toward him and to interrogate him about many things, for they were plotting to catch him at something he might say." We see here that some people were not open to what Jesus had to say. We can be the same way sometimes. We've got to be careful. We can look at this and twist it and say, yes, see, this is proof that people will not always want to hear what we have to say about Jesus. And that is true. But, you know, you got to remember that these scriptures that we read, they're not just directed to other people. They are directed to each one of us. So the Lord is also talking to us there. And the reminder for each of us is that sometimes we're not going to pay attention when we're told that we have to love our enemies when we're told that we have to deny ourselves, pick up our cross. You know, there are certain things we like to hear better than others coming from Jesus. But we need to hear it all. If you're going to have any kind of a relationship with him, you've got to hear the things you want to hear and the things you don't want to hear. That's where the love comes in. It's easy for me to follow him with things that come without effort to me. But it becomes harder to follow him when he says you've got to deny yourself. I don't like to deny myself. I don't like to love people who aren't nice to me. But that's where the love for Jesus comes in. And that's the way we're going to really follow him. So they're the readings today. Good stuff. I mean, it's really a wake-up call. And the idea of not looking down on people, it's very easy to look. I mean, we do it without even realizing. We pigeonhole people, and we look at the homeless and certain people who might not make as much money as we do or look shabby, and we do judge them sometimes. Got to be very careful with that. That's where the grace that the Lord can give us can really come in handy. Be careful not to judge anybody, okay? Because the Lord loves everybody with the same infinite love. All right, let's take a look at the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Man, we are going slowly with this, but that's the way I want it. Again, I don't want to cram a bunch of facts down your throat because that's just not going to be helpful. You're going to get bored with that, and you're going to zone out, and you're going to stop listening to the program. I want to go gradually because I'm telling you, this is a treasure chest, this catechism. So if you can stick with me, we're going to go nice and slow. We will learn about the Lord through this teaching, okay? And as a result, you get to know him better. You're going to grow closer to him. This is good stuff. So today we look at paragraph 4, handing on the faith catechesis. Quite early on, the name catechesis was given to the totality of the church's efforts to make disciples, to help men believe that Jesus is the Son of God, so that believing they might have life in his name, and to educate and instruct them in this life, thus building up the body of Christ. So that's what catechesis is. Catechists, another word for teachers, but it's a specific word, the catechism. And just be aware what this is. This is the effort of the church and us as members of the church making disciples to help men believe that Jesus is the Son of God, so that believing they might have life in his name and instruct them in this life, thus building up the body of Christ. Catechesis, paragraph 5, is an education in the faith of children, young people, and adults, which includes especially the teaching of Christian doctrine, imparted, generally speaking, in an organic and systematic way, with a view to initiating the hearers into the fullness of Christian life. What I'm doing here, catechesis, teaching, talking about Jesus, talking about his church, so that you can understand. This is the way to happiness. Growing close to Christ is not only the way to happiness, it's the way to heaven. And we need to get that word out there. So that's what this is. Paragraph 6, while not being formally identified with them, catechesis is built on a certain number of elements of the church's pastoral mission, which have a catechetical aspect, that prepare for catechesis or spring from it. They are the initial proclamation of the gospel or missionary preaching to arouse faith, examination of the reasons for belief, experience of Christian living, celebration of the sacraments, integration into the ecclesial community, and apostolic and missionary witness. Some of this is a little deep, you know, we're going to just skip over some of it. I'll put it out there and I might just gloss over some of it. Essentially what we're doing is we're talking about the good news. When we're teaching people about the Lord, and you know, we're teaching them about Jesus. We're teaching them that he's real and that he founded a church, and we can teach those beliefs of his church or those guidelines or the doctrines, that's the word I'm looking for, of the church. Doesn't mean you have to do it all at once. If you're instructing somebody, go slow. They'll let you know when they're interested. Sometimes you have to wait until that door is opened. Catechesis is intimately bound up with the whole of the church's life. In other words, it's important for us to do this. All right, let's see what we have here. Okay, I'm going to leave it at that for now. That's what it's important for us, number one, to learn what the church teaches so that we can share that teaching with others. You know what? I'm going to stop there because I can see, even though we're doing this through a podcast, I can see that glazed over look in your eyes. I don't want to go too fast with this. But for many years, I never believed it was necessary for me to teach anybody about Jesus. And as a result, I didn't know anything about him either. We need to, we need to understand Christ. We need to learn about him. We need to know him personally, which means you have to do what? You have to sometimes close the book, the textbook, turn off the podcast. And yeah, I did say turn off the podcast, including mine, and talk to Jesus. All of my talking is only designed to get you fired up about having a relationship with Christ. I could talk to you all day and teach you how to swim, but until you get into the pool, you're never going to learn. And that is critical. I think that's a mistake that gets made too many times. And that's why people get bored with religion, with church doctrine, because it becomes boring if you don't have a relationship with Christ. Once you get to know him, once you're talking to him, then you start to become more interested. The reason for this is you have an encounter with him. See, we forget that when we speak with him in prayer, when we encounter him in the sacraments, something is taking place there, not just on our end, but on his end. So when we receive the Holy Eucharist, when we receive the sacrament of confession, what do we get? We get grace. That grace does something. It changes us. It helps us. So the Lord is giving to us. It's not just a matter of you and me saying the correct words so that we feel better and that we know him better. It's not that. It's we're having an encounter. So when I pray, even though I can't necessarily see with my eyes or touch with my hands what I get back, I'm getting something back. So as soon as you start to pray, you are getting a response from the Lord. That takes faith to believe that. But I promise you that that's happening. And that's how I know. That's why I can confidently tell people, if you're struggling, go talk to Jesus because he'll help you. And again, that's not fluff. That's not said to just make you feel better. I had a friend one time when I was working as a software developer. He said, and he was, I think he was Lutheran, but he was married to a Catholic. Anyway, he wasn't anti-religion. He would go to church, but he saw the need for religion. But he said to me one time, it doesn't matter what religion you are. Religion's made for you, for people, to help people, and not really to do anything for God, or there's not any, I forget how he said it, but there's not any one way to practice your faith. In essence, what he was saying is, by practicing your religion, you're going to feel better. And you're pretty much being consoled with good thoughts, or just a bunch of fluff. Totally ignoring the fact that Christ founded a church, and there's something real, which is grace, that comes from the church. This is not just made to feel us, but make us feel better. Christ calls us into an intimate relationship with him. It's real, and that's what he wants. So just keep that in mind, and we are called to go out there and share him with others. Now, again, we're going real slow with this catechism. Give it a little time. I don't want to rush it. I just want to give you the basics, and you'll see this will start to build, and you'll begin to really understand what's happening here. When we learn what the church teaches, we learn about Christ, because ultimately that's what's happening. And he draws us into a relationship with his Father. We get to know the Holy Spirit. It is a really, really good thing. All right, I'm out of time. I've got to run. It was fun hanging out with you today. God willing, I'm going to be here tomorrow. And tomorrow, since it's Friday, we will do the Sunday Mass readings. Again, thanks for participating. I really appreciate your donations, your prayers, your support. It's a blessing to be able to hang out with you every day. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. Remember to make sure you talk to Jesus today. Until you start doing that, the relationship is never going to grow. Thanks for listening. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.